Curious City is supported by the Poetry Foundation, with a reminder that Chicago is the pulse of poetry. Visit the Poetry Foundation on the corner of Superior and Dearborn to explore their library of 40,000 books. Attend public events and view Frente a la Vida, Facing Life, a striking multidisciplinary art exhibition by Chicago artist Victoria Martinez. Learn more at poetryfoundation.org. WBEZ's nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
What's up, Chicago? I'm Erin Allen, and this is Curious City. Last episode was all about a phrase you hear in Chicago all the time, cooler by the lake. Now here's another weather phrase you might hear a lot in our area.
Oh, if you don't like the weather, just wait a day. And it only happens in Chicago, or it only happens in Illinois. That's a bit of a myth.
That is the voice of somebody who loves weather, Jeff Frame. He teaches students about it at U of I's Department of Climate, Meteorology, and Atmospheric Sciences in Urbana-Champaign. Jeff says that phrase, which is about Chicago's supposed weather volatility, is not really that accurate.
Really, actually, if you want to see kind of the biggest day-to-day temperature swings, head west out toward the Dakotas, parts of Montana, where it's not uncommon at all during a year to see multiple days 50 degrees Fahrenheit warmer or colder than the last day.
Wow.
Pretty crazy climate out there with the downsloping off the Rockies.
Jeff tells me he's loved the weather since elementary school. He says for some weather enthusiasts, it's a big weather event that gets them into it. Like a blizzard or a tornado. But for him, it was the Weather Channel.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the new Weather Channel. We're covering the weather for you for everything you do.
The Weather Channel for everything you do.
You know, a lot of folks, they say, I want to be a policeman or a fireman or a doctor or an astronaut, right? Those are kind of the big things if you go walk around a second grade classroom. Whereas for me, I always wanted to do weather. As I went through college, I decided, you know, I'm actually pretty good at teaching this stuff.
So today, Jeff is going to teach us some stuff about strange weather in Chicago. Because even though ours might not be the most fickle, you live here, you know, we get some weird shifts in the weather. You get it. I'm talking about thunder snow, the so-called polar vortex, and even the occasional waterspout. Jeff knows about all that rare weather, starting off with the phenomenon caused by space weather. It's something that Chicago experienced rather recently, the aurora borealis.
The northern lights, or the aurora, that occurs usually 2 to 3 days after a pretty big solar storm, either what's called a solar flare or a coronal mass ejection. That's a big sciencey term.
Basically, the sun sends a bunch of charged particles toward the Earth.
Now, these particles move fairly fast. It takes them about 2 to 3 days to get here. And when those particles interact with the Earth's magnetic field, they're channeled along the magnetic field lines toward both the north and the south poles of the planet.
Imagine like a neon light show in the night sky. Greens, pinks, glowing and shooting, all mixed and mastered by Mother Nature, changing in the span of minutes. Typically, you can only see the northern lights when you're closer to the poles, but after a big solar storm, the aurora can sneak down to our latitude.
And one of those events did happen back on November 11th.
Did you get to go outside that night? It was cold, but apparently the northern lights were giving. You might have even seen some pretty spectacular pictures online.
When you see pictures of aurora on social media or whatever, keep in mind that cameras, be it from a cell phone or just a normal digital camera, it does have the effect of kind of blowing up the colors a little bit and making them a lot more vivid than you'd see with your eye.
Now me, I missed it, but maybe I still have some time.
If you want to see the aurora, I recommend trying to do that this year because the sun operates on an 11-year cycle. And that 11-year cycle peaked in 2024 and 2025, meaning there are more of those solar flares and more of those coronal mass ejections. However, in about 4, 5, 6 years, the sun is going to be relatively quiet, meaning that our chances of seeing aurora here in the mid latitudes will be very small, and that'll be really again confined to those far northern areas of Canada, Alaska, Greenland, places like that.
Jeff says you can get a forecast for aurora 2 or 3 days in advance. He recommends checking out the experimental aurora dashboard from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration.
Oh! Listen to that!
Now, something else that's already happened this winter season is a phenomenon called thundersnow.
Oh my goodness!
Just like it sounds.
Holy smoke!
That's when you get lightning and thunder during a snowstorm. But there's a good reason it's not as common.
Given that thunderstorms like warm, moist air, that's thunderstorm fuel. That's simply why we see many more thunderstorms in summer than we do in wintertime.
Sometimes, though, Jeff says conditions are right for thunder during snow. Like in early winter, when the air is usually colder than the lake.
And when that cold air travels over the relatively warm waters of the lake warms and moistens the air.
This is also how lake effect snow forms.
Because it's so cold in winter, that actually sets the stage for the development of mini thunderstorms. It's like winter's version of thunderstorms there. The other way we can get thundersnow is with a really intense low-pressure system, these big red L's, for example, that Tom Skilling would show on his weather maps on the news there on WGN. And if that low pressure is strong enough, we can actually get enough cold air aloft that thunderstorms can develop within this larger area of heavier snow.
So what other weird weather can we get here?
A water spout is any tornado over water.
Water spouts. They're wind funnels that happen over the lake, and they're usually pretty short-lived.
Now, most water spouts tend to be on the weaker side, but they're certainly still dangerous. They can still cause damage. You don't want to go driving into them.
Curious City editor Susie Ahn says she saw one off a Navy pier in the fall a few years ago, but it was gone before anybody else could see it. Sure, I believe her. And Jeff says there is a good reason to. The same conditions that cause thunder snow and lake effect snow can also cause a waterspout.
That cold air over the warm lake, it's not uncommon, kind of those first couple cold air outbreaks of the season in September and October. You might look out over the lake and see some waterspouts out there. And sometimes these can form in families with 2 or 3 or sometimes more than that forming at a time.
Yes, the polar vortex is expected to drop Arctic air across a big chunk of the U.S. around.
And last but not least, the polar vortex.
It was a deadly weather event. The actual temperature dipped to more than 20 below zero, colder than the South Pole and Alaska.
Okay, so polar vortex is really always there. There's one over the North Pole and one over the South Pole.
Imagine the jet stream. It's a constant flow of air circling the polar ice cap from west to east.
When the polar vortex is stronger, that cold air tends to be penned up closer to the North Pole in Alaska and northern Canada. But when the polar vortex of the jet stream actually weakens a little bit, the jet stream gets more wavy and these cold air masses can be introduced into, again, the mid-latitudes.
When these Arctic air masses come down to Chicago with temperatures well below 0 degrees, that's when you see a bunch of videos of people taking boiling water outside and throwing it into the air.
I have done this where basically you take some water, you boil it on the stove, and you take the pan and you toss it out. And basically what happens is that boiling water very quickly turns to steam and then very quickly turns into snow. Because you've basically oversaturated the air by throwing all this hot steam into this cold air. Now, before I say go do this, you have to be very, very careful with this because you can burn yourself. One thing you don't want to do, if the wind is coming out of the west, you don't want to face west and throw boiling water into the wind. Then what happens? The wind blows it on you and you burn yourself. And children should not be doing this either. It's kind of a fun experiment, but you do need to use a lot of caution in doing this.
Now, it might seem like the polar vortex is sending these Arctic air masses into Chicago more and more often over the past several years, but we're also seeing more mild days in the winter overall. That's according to a Cranes analysis of data from the National Centers for Environmental Information. All this made me want to ask Jeff about climate change and if unusual weather is becoming more usual.
Now, the climate is changing, it is warming, and it is us due to the increasing greenhouse gas concentrations, mainly CO2, but also methane and some other things. Now, that said, we have to be very careful, especially about some of these unusual things. For example, if we look at the U.S. tornado record since 1950, when they started keeping track of it, it's this big graph pointing upward. And you look at that and you say, oh my gosh, tornadoes are getting so much more common, but really they're not. If we look at the tornadoes that cause a lot of damage, that line is flat. And so that tells us that more tornadoes are being documented because now everybody has a video camera in their pocket that is connected to the internet.
But Jeff says heat waves are certainly becoming more common, and that makes storms more common as well.
Warmer and moister conditions in the summer, well, that does set the stage for more thunderstorms. So we think thunderstorms becoming more common, and we think windstorms like derechos might be getting a little more common. In terms of snowstorms and winter weather, we don't have a great signal with that, how that might be changing. But something like, you know, aurora, that's not influenced by climate change at all. That's all due to the sun and the Earth's magnetic field.
Okay, thank you.
Weather is cool.
Jeff Frame is a teaching professor in the Department of Climate Meteorology and Atmospheric Sciences at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. Jeff, thank you so much.
Thank you, Erin. It was great to share my love of weather with you and all of your listeners today.
You can occasionally hear from Jeff on Weather Realness. That's a weekly radio show and podcast on WILL, Illinois Public Media. This episode of Curious City was produced by me and Justin Bull. Susie Ahn is our editor. Curious City is a production of WBEZ Chicago and is a part of the NPR network. If you have questions about Chicago and the region, send them our way at curiouscity@wbez.org or visit us at wbez.org/curiouscity. I'm Erin Allen. Thank you for listening. I'll talk to you next week.